Thank you so much for that time of worship. Today, if you have your Bibles with you, we'll be in Isaiah chapter 60, the whole chapter, and then we'll be in Revelation 21-22 for part of the time. And to be honest with you, I've been really, really excited about this passage, this part of the belief series that talks about eternity. I've been excited about it. I have been overwhelmed with it. And it may sound a little bit strange, though. I was raised in a pastor's home and have gone to church all my life, and I haven't missed that many Sundays altogether. Really, eternity and the idea of heaven really wasn't spoken of very often. In fact, as I was sort of reviewing the last 54 years of my life, the only time I really heard about eternity or heaven was during funerals. That's usually when we bring that up. Every so often at Easter, the subject will come up. And I can remember as a little kid, I was told, well, heaven's going to be like a big, long worship service. And it'll be like coming to church at 8 o'clock and staying till noon. And it just keeps going and going and going. That was a woo-hoo. That's because it's a musician there. He's excited about that type of thing. But some of us, when we think of that, we think, like, let there be some intermission sometime. Or, honestly, even as a child, the image of heaven and eternity was, you know, that image of we're all going to be in togas and have a harp and float on clouds, and we're going to play every so often. Again, because I'm not musician availability or quality, I know I'm just going to have one string on my harp. That's all God's going to trust me with, I'm sure. But the fact of the matter is, when we think about eternity, when we think about this idea of heaven, for the most part, it's fairly one-dimensional. For the most part, it's fairly flat and gray and not anything that really captures our imagination, if we're honest. In fact, if you start thinking about that right now, just sort of come and think of the first few images that come to mind. And one of the things that struck me as I was preparing for this message is that I really believe we have become one of the first generations that culturally don't think about eternity any longer. In fact, one of the things that strikes me even more powerfully than that, we have probably, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, we have certainly lost view of the idea of hell, the idea of living apart and separate from God, which is what hell is all about, the recognizing and understanding that God literally allowed us to have what we chose to have, to walk away from Him. But I also believe, even in the body of Christ, we have lost our view of heaven and what eternity looks like. In fact, I've come to the place where I believe as I get up every single day and look at the news and see all that's going on, and we watch our politics and international circumstances and situation, I think we have literally become a people that have lost a sense of hope, literally have lost and is always searching for good news. And one of the things that strikes me, at least the things that I read about, how many of you have a cell phone? Some of you do, some of you don't. I hope most of us carry one of those around. Do you realize that the average American, this is amazing to me, checks their cell phone 110 times a day? Isn't that insane? And one of the things I recognize, and they're saying now, in fact, if I had children, I would probably not allow them to have a cell phone, simply because the way it's been wired and made and figured out, every time we check our cell phone and someone gives us a text or a Facebook note, you know what happens in our brain? We get a little shot of dopamine. That's the same area that cocaine and heroin and alcohol hits in order to make us feel good. So part of that checking it 110 times a day is because we've literally become addicted to looking for good news. And see, I think in the midst of that, as followers of Christ, we have lost hope in the truth that the gospel is meant to change everything. The gospel is meant to change individual hearts and minds and lives. It's meant to transform our circumstances and situations. It's meant to transform how we look at things. And as we are changed and transformed from the inside out, it's meant to change our communities, where we begin to recognize and see people as Christ did and does. And it is literally meant to transform the whole world. And I'm not sure we believe in that. So throughout this last week or two, I've been asking God that the Holy Spirit might speak to us this morning, would change our hearts and our minds and our souls and our imaginations, and even it would begin to touch our emotions, and that we would become a people that start to get hungry for the things to come. In fact, let's pray right now. Father, we come before you, and I ask in the name of Christ that you would show yourself to be mighty and powerful on our behalf. And Lord, I ask that the Holy Spirit might come and encompass us this morning, and you would show yourself to be mighty. And Lord, we ask that you would do as only you can do. You can transform us and change us as a people. And Father, we are just going to thank you. Would I become less and you become more? And for these next few moments, would you capture our imaginations and our hearts and our emotions, that we would walk out of here looking forward to the days ahead, because we know what it encompasses. And we thank you for what you're going to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to look at two scriptures today. The first one is in Isaiah, and I'm just going to sort of prepare you. We don't have a whole lot of time, and it's the whole chapter, and I know we're not supposed to do that nowadays. I'm told your average American servant, if it's going to be effective, needs to be less than 11 minutes and only have a couple of verses and really just one point that you repeat 8 times. We're not going to go there today. If you look in Isaiah chapter 60, we're getting a picture of what God longs to do. But before we even get there, let me tell you some truth, and I think we don't believe it or understand it or recognize it. If you would believe this today, it would begin to make a lot more sense how you deal with life. But do you realize that you and I were designed for more? If you look at the very beginning in the garden, back to the book of Genesis, you and I were designed for utter joy and happiness and life. I mean, read the narrative. God created man and wife and brought them together, and he gave them purposeful work. Go into the garden and enjoy and multiply and name the animals and keep everything going. And he literally says, I give you all authority here to do as you see fit. And then it talked about every single day. Just imagine at the end of the day, as you're winding down, you look up and the creator of all the universe walks in. And you have this intimate relationship, and you talk about seeing the zebra for the very first time, or what section of the garden you've been working in, and there's this excitement and restoration and hope. That's the beginning of the story, remember? And the evil one comes and whispers in Adam and Eve's ear and says, you know what, God isn't as good as you think. You need to take care of yourselves. And at that point, Adam and Eve literally choose and turn away and say they want to be their own gods. And literally what goes on that in a very strong and perfect reality is that our authority in the midst of this world, the kingdom that God has given us, we turn over and hand over to the enemy. And since that day, a battle has been raging every single day. It's an amazing passage of Scripture. And so you and I are living in a broken world where there's a battle going on moment by moment by moment. Yet most of us as followers of Christ don't even recognize it or see it. But in the midst of that, I told you this was about good news, not bad news, God has a plan for redemption and an idea for restoration and a way for a future and a hope. And this is why Isaiah 60 comes to place, and I'm going to do something a little bit different. It may make some of you uncomfortable. I want you to just close your eyes and hear the words, hear the narrative. This is the glory of Zion. And it's going to be a couple of minutes of reading, so don't get uncomfortable with that. But just grab hold of what's going on here. The nation of Israel had been wandering. They were defeated. They were anxious. And God says, this is what your future will look like. And it begins in Isaiah chapter 60. Arise and shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, the darkness covers the earth, and the thick darkness is over its people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. And the nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about. All assemble and come to you. Your sons will come from afar. Your daughters are being carried in the arm, and they will look and be radiant and your heart will throb and swell with joy, and the wealth of the seas will be brought to you. To the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels from Midian and Ephah. And Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. And all of Kendall's flocks will gather around you, and the rams of Nephilah will serve you, and they will be accepted as offerings at my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. Who are these that fly along like clouds, like doves to their nests? Surely the islands will look upon me, and in the lead are the ships of Tarshish, bringing your sons from afar, and they will come with silver and gold to honor the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, and he will endow you with splendor. And foreigners will rebuild your walls, and their kings will serve you. And though in anger I struck you, in favor I will show you compassion, and your gates will always stand open. And they will never be shut day or night, so that men may bring you the wealth of the nations. Their kings will lead in triumphal procession. The nation and the kingdom that will not serve you will perish and will be utterly ruined. And the glory of Lebanon will come to you, and the pine and the fir and the cypress will gather together to adorn the place of my sanctuary. And I will glorify the place of my feet, and your sons of your oppressors will come and bow down before you. And all who despise will bow down at your feet and will call you the city of the Lord, Zion, the Holy One of Israel. And although you have been forsaken and hated, with no one traveling through, I will make you an everlasting pride and joy of all the generations. You will drink milk of nations and will be nursed at royal breasts. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold and silver in place of iron. Instead of wood, I will bring bronze. Instead of iron, in the places of stones. And I will make peace your governor and righteousness your ruler. And no longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin, nor destruction within the borders, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. And the sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine upon you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your glory will be the glory of the sun. And your sun will never set again, or your moon will not wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light. Your days of sorrow will end. Then with all the people will be righteous, and they will possess the land forever. And you, they are the shoot that I have planted, the works of my hands for the display of my splendor. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. You can open your eyes now. Do you realize what's going on is that the God of all creation is coming to the nation of Israel and reminding them of what will take place in the future? And there are at least three things that are going to be going on in this passage of Scripture. There are probably four things I'm going to hit upon. And my nose is running, so let me grab one of these things. Thank you very much. But can you imagine what this is going to be like? There's at least four things going on. First of all, I want you to see today that when we enter the presence, when the new Jerusalem comes, when God sets up his kingdom here permanently, you will be completely restored. Your bodies will be made new. There will be no more pain and hardship and brokenness. You will be able to think well and move well. There will be insight and wisdom and discernment. I mean, it says, look up. Look up and see all I'm about to do to you. It says, I will bring your sons and daughters home. You will look radiant, and you will be radiant. Just imagine, it says, our hearts will throb and swell with joy. How many of you are looking forward to that? How many of you desire that each and every day with all the things that you face? And in the midst of Isaiah chapter 60, maybe you've never even looked at this passage of Scripture before, it says that we, as followers of Christ, will be completely restored. But then it goes farther than that, and we won't go through each and every verse, but if you look at verses 11 through 13, it says some amazing stuff about this new earth, this new kingdom that's going to be restored. It says, the world will be restored and made right. Culturally, we will be restored and transformed. Literally what goes on in the Word of God, it says that all of the evil and brokenness will be purged out of the world in which we live in. And the cultures, the ethnic cultures, we will be able to gather in and enjoy each other's blessing and favor and goodness. See, I'm thinking for a lot of us, we have this idea that heaven's going to be this place where we're all the same, we look alike, we're just going to be glowing beings. It says here that that isn't the case, that every ethnic group and every tongue will be part of heaven, and there's going to be different sections, and there's going to be no prejudice or heartache or brokenness. And it goes farther than that. I mean, I don't know about you, if you're a Wesley person, for some of you, you were sitting there going, what is this thing with camels? I mean, come on, what's this camel? Scripture says there's going to be animals. If you were Wesley, used to believe that all of your animals you've had your whole life are going to be waiting for you when you enter the presence, when the new kingdom is set up. And Joyce and I used to fear that because we've had so many dogs. But just think for a moment. It says here, your gates will always stand open and will never be shut day or night, so that the men may bring the wealth of the nations. And the kings will lead in triumphal procession, for the nation or kingdom will not serve you. It literally says, and then in verse 13, the glory of Lebanon will come upon you. The pine and the fir and the cypress together will adorn the place of my sanctuary. Just imagine, how many of you have ever seen some breathtaking architecture? Any of you? Okay, none of you. You need to look at National Geographic a little bit more. It says there's going to be architecture and beauty and art and celebration and artistic things are going to go on, and it's going to be an amazing, glorious place. We're going to stand breath. Our breath will be taken away when we see the glory of God. We'll be able to look at cultures that are different from ours and rejoice and celebrate their abilities. And it says day and night our gates will stand open. I don't know about you, but that's an amazing thing. Beauty and art and architecture and engineering. We will stand in awe of all that God does. I mean, just imagine the best that we do now can be life-changing. Just imagine what it will be like when the King of all creation designs and brings to life and restores the new heavens and the new earth and the city of God. That new Jerusalem will be far beyond what we can ever and even imagine. You ready for that? My brother's kid is a really interesting guy. He's an architect and engineer out of D.C. And this last couple of years, his job has been to be the head architect and engineer for Walt Disney's new Star Wars theme parks. What's amazing to me as I talk to him is that he says, and he's sworn to secrecy, and we always joke if he disappears someday, it's because they messed with Walt Disney. But he says they are actually designing and making things that have yet to be engineered that is even possible. Imagine when the God of all creation opens this new eternity and the new heavens and earth are restored, what it's going to be like. It's not going to be flopping around on a cloud. It's not going to be worshiping in a worship service, though those things will happen and it'll take place. But do you realize he has designed you for purposes beyond what you can ever imagine? This is not your home. I guess that's what I would summarize. This is not your home. And yet how many of us live our lives constantly thinking this is all there is? And in Isaiah chapter 60, in a very powerful way, look through it this week, read through it, pray through it. It says, in the new heavens and earth, the gates will always be open, and beauty and glory and architecture and all the greatest things that man can come up with are going to be brought before our King. And our sons and daughters will come, and we will enjoy the glories of God. But it goes farther than that. Look at verse 18. Those of us who have watched the news this last week and felt heartsick about what we've seen in Florida, or if you're involved with law enforcement, recognizing 11 of them have lost their lives since the beginning of the year. What does it say in verse 18? No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin, nor destruction within your borders, but your walls will be called salvation, and your gates will be called praise. Do you hear what's going on in this new heaven and earth? There'll be a new sense of community. It's what we've been longing for, that when we walk down those streets, regardless of where it is, in an urban setting or a rural setting, we don't have to worry about situational awareness any longer. Everyone we come in contact with will be a friend. That we won't have to worry about race relations and if you say the right thing or the wrong thing, because there's going to be an intimacy there and a joy there. There'll be no longer any fear of violence or ruin or destruction. Does any of that get you excited? Does any of that begin to renew your imagination for what God longs to do? And see, that's what's really interesting. I think even in the horrendousness of Florida, even if you don't know who God is, there's something inside of you that says, this is wrong. This isn't the way it should be. We shouldn't have to worry about this when we send our kids to school. Do you know why? Because God has placed eternity in our hearts, and there's something in us that says, this isn't how it is meant to be. This violence and hatred and suspicions, it's not right. And everyone knows it. No matter what side you're on, everyone knows it. And God says, when I restore the earth, there will no longer be violence in your land. There will no longer be broken relationships that don't seem to be able to get fixed. There will no longer be prejudices that make you judge everyone that you walk into. There will be unity and peace and joy. Can you imagine that? And the best part is verses 16 and 19. In the midst of that, it says, hear this. This is so exciting. Then you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Did you hear that? The sun will no longer shine by day or the moonness by night. Literally says, you're not going to need any of those things anymore because the light, the Lord will be your everlasting light. The glory of God will be your glory. Think for a few moments. The best part of this new heaven and new earth is that God will be in the midst of it and it will be complete. We will enjoy God's presence. We will enjoy getting up. We will enjoy living and working, and it will all be good and it will all be perfect. See, again, for some of us, we have this idea that we're going to just show up there and just stand around and look. No, God has designed you and made you purposefully. This is a dress rehearsal of what God longs to do. Just imagine, we will finally be home. No longer hiding behind fig leaves. How awesome to hear, no more pain. No more tears, no more heartache. We will be connected and wholly restored. This is what eternity is all about. The thing that we have to look forward to as followers of Christ, the reason we need to tell as many people as possible so that they can join in the midst of this. But have you ever been in a place where it's just right? We have a couple minutes left. I want to do something a little bit differently. And you know, for most of you know, I'm not really a touchy-feely type of guy, but I ran across a song in the last few weeks. And to be honest with you, it's a secular song. It's not a Christian song, but we don't even write good future-type songs any longer, even in the body of Christ. But it's a song of redemption. It's a song of someone who has come to their senses, who they've wandered off the path, and they've felt the destruction of the earth in which they lived in. And he talks about, from now on, he says, I'm not going to be blinded by the lights and the intricacies and the details and the dabblings of this world any longer. I am going to be centered on my purpose. He's not talking about God, but I'm taking the song and just imagine if he was singing this before the throne of God. He's talking about a place of restoration and healing, a turning of the page. And I honestly, part of the reasons why I'm giving you this song today is because I'm not sure what images you have of heaven in your hearts. But But one of the things that's been capturing my mind more and more, because frankly, I don't want to go to a church service. Said I wasn't going to do this. But I want us to be a people that long to come home. That our friends and our family members that have gone before us are going to meet us there. And it's going to be glorious. And there's going to be celebration and a banquet, and there's going to be oneness, but it's going to be coming home. We will finally be at a place where things are designed the way they were meant to be. And as you listen to this song at the very end, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm just going to read, so you don't have to worry about having a sermon on Revelation 22 and 21. But can I ask the Holy Spirit to maybe restore your view of eternity? As followers of Christ, I want you to be a people that look forward to entering His presence. I want you to recognize that when we stand in that new place that God is going to restore and make, it's going to be as if it was at the very beginning, as God intended us to be as a people. And I want this anthem to stay in your heart. And I want you to look forward and really begin to understand, because I don't think we understand it. See, for a lot of us, we live our lives and we think that this life is all there is. And the more I look at Scripture and the more I study and pray, it seems as if God is saying, you know what, all of you've experienced, everything that you've done up until this point, everything that you do until you enter my presence is nothing but a foreword in the book. Have you ever read the foreword of a book? It gives you a little synopsis. But it seems to me when I read through Revelation chapter 22, those next couple of verses, you're going to begin to understand that literally that is when life begins. And that everything we've experienced up until this point or that point is nothing but a dress rehearsal. It's like the wedding dinner rehearsal. You know, you show up and everyone's dressed casually, and you go through the whole service so you don't make a mistake. I think that's what living life right now is. But when we enter the presence of God, that's when it all begins to make sense. So if we could show that song, and I ask that you would just listen and